The new year is often a time of reflection, a chance to look back on the past 365 days and remember. Sometimes the memories bring a smile, and other times they break our hearts. Chances are you've experienced a bit of both this past year. The new year is also a time to look ahead, to imagine what could be, to scan the horizon with expectation and seek God's guiding hand. It's a time to strive for better, to live louder, love stronger, and be more of who God has created us to be. It's an opportunity for new beginnings, a chance to start fresh, to pursue God with a renewed passion, and to press on with all our hearts. The truth is, God has been faithful this past year, and that faithfulness promises to carry us through the next. As a new year begins, may we remember this one simple truth. In Christ, we are a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come.
If you believe that in Christ, the old has passed and all things have become new, let me hear the church say amen. Happy New Year, and it is 2022, a new year marked by an expectation of something new while struggling with something old. That's usually what the new year brings, at least for me, struggling for the first 3 or 4 months to write 2022 instead of 2021. That for me becomes a struggle right around April. I figure it out that it's a new year, 2022, a new year marked by expectations of something new while struggling with something old, like comparing events in 2022 with 2021. It's natural to expect better things in the new year. It's the reason that many will make resolutions or set goals regarding their health and weight, their financial situations, their reading habits, and or their attitudes and outlook on life. Now typically resolutions reflect the intention to improve on an attribute, a quality, a characteristic that one believes is deficient or negative. For example, I really need to lose weight. I'm not speaking in a hypothetical or a resolution someone else has made. I'm speaking of Dion Frazier. Like, I need to lose some weight because it is negatively impacting my health. Thus, I resolve to regularly exercise. So that's something that I'm planning to do. Or someone might say, I don't read my Bible enough, so I resolve to carve out a time to daily read, my Bible. Now let me say this first. I'm not against resolutions or goal setting. I endorse them. I also encourage making commitments. And so last week in the sermon, I suggested that we as a body make a commitment of sorts. In a sermon entitled Where We're Going, I called for our church to allow the word of Christ to dwell in us richly. And if we do that, we are choosing to wear a new wardrobe, to wear something that reflects this reality of the word dwelling in our lives. The Apostle Paul, in the letter to the Colossian church, wrote this: as God's chosen ones, Holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. That's where we get that language of putting on a new wardrobe. Paul would then sum up his instructions by encouraging the disciples to let the word dwell richly in them, and adding this in Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's what Paul wrote, and a very encouraging way to this young church in Colossae. Church, and that's where we're endeavoring or trying to go. That's where we're going. Call it a resolution, a goal, or a commitment. It's a pathway we are praying that God will lead faithfully, toward a deeper life with him, as the word dwells in us richly and we begin to put on these new clothes, this new wardrobe. So I want to briefly continue this thought by considering another piece, who we are becoming, Brother Perry shared a little bit of this passage from Ephesians chapter 1 today. I want to read a piece from Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse number 3. Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse number 3. Paul writing to the churches in Ephesus, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his good will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fulfillment of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplish all things according to his counsel and will, so that we who were the first to set our hope on Christ might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory." Ephesians chapter 1. Again, this week we turn to the Apostle Paul, as we did last week, for words of encouragement, some words of instruction. This time we meditate on words written to an ancient Christian community in Ephesus. Paul is writing this letter from prison, as he did when he corresponded with the church in Colossae and the church in Philippi. One of the reasons we call those letters the prison epistles. From his confinement, Paul writes words to help the young church walk in purpose, as he defines their status in a rich, rich way. Here in this letter to the Ephesians, Paul endeavors to define the disciples as men and women who are walking in the blessings of God. The blessings of God. Ephesians 1:3 again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ Jesus with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We just sung a hymn, a song called the Doxology. We sang a newer version called the New Doxology. It mixes the old hymn with a newer chorus. And that song is a praise directed at the Holy God, who we believe is the source of all blessings. And so we sang, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Our song to God is a song that accurately describes our belief that God, the Heavenly Father, is the source of blessing. And we are echoing the words of Paul, who wrote that we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And I would say as emphatically as I can that it is not enough to just be aware of that truth, but it is life-changing to live or to lean into those blessings. And the letter to the Ephesians is overflowing with descriptions and lists of blessings that we are afforded as the people of God. As we start a new year, I would invite us all to sit down and enumerate, list, write down all the blessings that we have in our lives. We're used to writing down all the complaints and all the deficiencies and all that's lacking, but what if we spent some time to start this new year off with listing all the things that we are thankful for because we have been blessed with all of these blessings? My wife and I just returned back to Ohio from Flint, Michigan to visit her mother and her siblings, and we had a great time reconnecting. It was the first time we've been, I think, in Michigan in close to 2 years. And there's one moment as we were sitting in her mother's living room. Her mother, you know, has this big window in the front of her house in the living room, off the living room, and she's just looking outside. And she just uttered, unprompted, we didn't ask her anything, she just said, "Man, I am just so blessed." And she just began to just talk about her family and talk about all the things that she has been given by God. She just kind of gave a doxology, a blessing, like right there in the living room. I wonder if we had more of that in our lives. She didn't do it in a bragging way. She didn't do it to, you know, beat upon her chest to say, look what I have. It was really a posture of humility and deep gratitude to God for all the blessings that she has been given. If you are a follower of Jesus, I pray that you start 2022 off with just listing all the blessings that you have. Now, you might be saying, well, you know, I'm struggling. I have this and this, but what else is there? Well, fortunately, in the letter to the Ephesians, Paul helps us out by listing a huge amount of blessings. Get this. In chapter 1, in verse number 4, Paul says that God chose us to be holy. That's a blessing, that God loved us so much that he has chosen us to be his special people. In chapter 1, in verse number 5, it says God adopted us, and we are his children. And with being his children comes a wealth of benefits and blessing of being connected, being family with the Heavenly Father. In chapter 1 and verse number 6, he says, God has gifted us, freely given us grace. We have seen over and over again through scripture and through our lives that God is a giver. He wants to give us so many things. And the greatest gift he has given us is the gift of grace in Christ. Jesus. In chapter 1 and verse number 7, it says, God redeemed us. We have the forgiveness of sins. We have done some horrible things to each other, to ourselves. We have done some horrible things in the name of me and selfishness, but God has redeemed us and forgiven us. In chapter 1 and verse number 9, God has given us, and the word that's used in scripture is that he lavished or poured out on us wisdom, some things that were hidden in times past. He has lavished and poured out that wisdom, made known to us the mystery of his will. We're not a people who walk in darkness or ignorance. We now walk in the light, and in the light, God's will, the mystery of his will has been revealed. In chapter 1 and verse number 11, God has given us an inheritance, giving us something to live off of, enabling us to live, and not just live, but to flourish. That's the inheritance that God has given us. In chapter 1 and verse number 13, God has placed us in Christ. When we heard and believed, we became part of his only son, and we are now beneficiaries of the blessings that God has given to Christ because we are in him. In chapter 1 verse 13, he has also marked us with a seal, the Holy Spirit. He has not left us alone on an island with no tools and no supplies. He gave us the greatest power, the Holy Spirit. These are blessings in Ephesians, and that's just chapter 1. Because if you continue to read Ephesians, you'll see a more exhaustive list of blessings throughout the rest of the letter. Here's a sampling, chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. We were dead and God made us alive. In chapter 2, verse 8, God saved us by grace. In chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, God gave us peace and reconciled us with others. In chapter 3, and verse 20, God has given us a power, the same power that enabled God to do abundantly more than all we could ever ask or imagine. God has given us that power, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Chapter 4, and verse number 4, God called us into one hope. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 8, God called us out of darkness into light. That's ignorance into knowledge. Ephesians chapter 6 verses 10 through 18, God has given us spiritual equipment to protect us and to fight the devil. Now, after hearing this list of blessings and knowing that these blessings are yours and mine, I just have to ask, like, do you feel blessed? Are you ready to live into these blessings and become what God sees in you? That's the issue, church. Are we becoming what God sees and what God has described for his people? See, we are a people who have been richly blessed by a God who wants to bless, not a God who wants to curse. We've been richly blessed by a God who wants to give, not a God who wants to take away. We've been richly blessed by a God who wants community, not a God who wants to be left alone on some lofty mountain. And so, in 2022, we need to make this a year where we are becoming the blessed people and a people living into the blessings of God. It is easy for us to assume the negative dispositions that others or ourselves have carved out for us. But committed and determined is the way of the people of God to embrace the blessed life God has for us. I caution once more that living in the blessing of God does not mean that we can just dismiss pain or suffering or misfortune or bad news. We're going to experience that because we are human. However, pain, suffering, misfortune, and bad news are all dealt with from a position of being blessed by the best. I listen to a lot of gospel music, particularly on early Sunday mornings when I wake up and have my coffee, put on my my gospel station and listen to a mixture of gospel songs, Christian worship songs. There are several songs that come on every week, no matter what. They'll splash in some newer songs or some different songs, but there's a few that are there all the time, and one is by a gospel artist by the name of Marvin Sapp. He has a song called "He Saw the Best in Me." I love this song. It's not really a lot of different lyrics. It's pretty basic, kind of repetitive, but it's done to make the point that God saw the best in me. Here are some of the lyrics. He saw the best in me when everyone else around could only see the worst in me. When folks wrote you off, said you would never make it, what did he see? He saw the best in me. And then they just go into this beautiful melodic praise where they just repeat over and over that, see, he's mine and I am his. It doesn't matter what I did. He only sees me for who I am. In case you didn't know it, there is a global pandemic. But then there are other, pandemics, epidemics of sorts that persist alongside this medical pandemic. And that issue is the issue of living into what others think of us. Anyone here know what I'm talking about? We go about our lives being steered and driven by what others think about us and what others believe about us and what others say about us. And I'm not talking about someone making their best assessment of us based on their knowledge of us. But even so, folks often draw attention to what's negative in us. He's not strong enough, and she's not confident enough, and they're not active enough. Now, I'm calling on the body of Christ to grow deaf to the constant refrains from others of what we are not and to grow more in tune with who we are. In a word, we are blessed. In 2022, we will become more and more committed to live in the blessings of God. That's who we're becoming. And when you are inundated with critiques of who you're not, people keep saying, you're not this, you're not this, you can't, you can't. I need you to remember that God chose you. He loves you. That God adopted you. You are his children. God has gifted you with grace. He sees the best in you. God has redeemed you. He has forgiven you. God has given you an inheritance. An inheritance that you can draw from, live off of, and flourish. Listen to this quip by Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse number 8. He says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of words, so that no one may boast." Get this. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. God made us, and some of your translations, you may have the word, we are God's workmanship. God made us God's workmanship. It's the Greek word poema. It's the Greek word that we get our English word poem. We are God's poem. Beautifully crafted, carefully crafted. We are God's poem. That means we have meaning and we have purpose. We are God's poem, made from beauty, of beauty, to bring beauty. God's poem. That's what we are becoming. And so the simple encouragement from me in response to this part of the letter from Paul is for us to live into God's blessing so that we can be a blessing to others, to lean into God's blessing. You know, when God called Abraham long ago in Genesis chapter 12, he called Abraham and he says, you know what? I am going to bless you. And through you, I'm going to be a blessing to others. That's the call to Abraham. That's the call to Israel. And that's the call to the church. To live in God's blessing so we can be a blessing to others. And in the next week or so, we're going to share like what we are going to do to be a blessing to our communities, to our world, to our homes, to our schools, to our workplaces. We're going to talk about how we're going to do that, what we're going to do to be that blessing. But before we talk about what we can do to be a blessing, we have to receive God's blessing in our lives. Hey, I would encourage you to read Ephesians, and I listed a bunch of blessings from the letter to the Ephesians. Why don't you go through Ephesians and look at some other blessings, and maybe that might spur you to think about your own life, and you'll make this list. So remember that list in the beginning that for some of us, man, yeah, we got this and this, but I just filled your list up with a bunch of things that's guaranteed if you're in Christ Jesus. Blessings. And those blessings will yield other blessings. And when we live into those blessings, man, we will be a blessing to our world. We'll be a blessing to our coworkers. We'll be a blessing to our classmates. We'll be a blessing to our neighbors. We'll even be a blessing to our enemies when we lean into the blessing. Let's become God's poem. Let's become God's beauty, born out of beauty, to birth beauty in our world. In just a few moments, we're going to sing a invitation song. Familiar hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, which is another praise song that denotes that God, it's a confession that God is the source of all blessing. And as we sing this song, I pray that the Holy Spirit would overwhelm us all into accepting our rightful place of being the blessed people of God and living and leaning into the blessing of God. And may that reality trigger for us a resolve to be a blessing to the people in our world. There's a reason if you've ever received an email from me or text message from me, I always end my messages with blessings. Because I believe that's the posture that God wants us all to live in. To live, lean into His blessing. And so we sing this song. It's a call. Come, thou fount of every blessing. So as you utter those words, may you be overwhelmed and succumb to the reality of God's blessing in your life. And when we do that as a church, we take that posture individually, we take that posture as a church, and we're going to be a tremendous blessing to our community. So if you are able, if you would stand to your feet, this is also our time of invitation. If there is a need that you have that you want to share with the church, I'll ask a couple of elders if you could come down forward to stand in a position to receive those who might want to come forward. So I need elders to come forward and stand up front. Thanks. And if you have a need, our shepherds are up front and ready to receive your needs. Let's sing together.